Amen. If you're saved and that doesn't get your blood going, something's wrong. Something's wrong. The Bible says in Revelation 5, verse number 2, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." Verse number 12. Verse 11, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Isn't that exciting? He is holy. There's no one else, nothing else like Jesus. I'm not the preacher today. But I had to say that. So, pray for Brother Wiggins. He's preaching this morning. Are they in the same time zone? That's probably a dumb question to ask in front of everybody. Same time zone, Central Standard. Okay. And so pray for him right now as he's preaching. And also pray for Brother Stone as he's preaching. He found out just a couple hours ago, "Hey, Brother Stone, you're preaching." So you pray for him. He's praying for him. I'm praying for him. Looking forward to hearing him preach this morning. Thank you, sir.
If you'll open your Bibles to the 119th Psalm, we'll get started this morning. As he said, I learned about 7:30 this morning, something like that. And praise the Lord for an archive of sermons. And I truly went into my study and I prayed before I turned on my computer. I said, "Lord, you know where I'm at." And so I began to scan through several titles, and the Lord brought this one to my attention, and I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you. I love the Lord. Amen. I love God. And I love Him because I know He first loved me. I know that I can only love Him because He first loved me. I can't love Him any other way. There's nothing about me that would desire Him. It's all God, and I know that. And I was talking to our Sunday school class a little while ago about just doing right, living right, and I don't believe in performance-based salvation, and I do not believe that anything that I do will increase God's love for me, or anything I do or don't do will decrease His love for me. I believe that He loves me with an unconditional perfect love, and it's an everlasting love. And I've been saved, this April will be 40 years, and I cannot get my head around that. Yeah. That He loves me despite me. I know me. I know me. My wife knows me better than anybody in this room, but I know me better than my wife does, and God knows me even better. And I believe that the hymn writer wrote that one verse for me. He said, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." So prone to leave God, so prone to sin. I love Him because He loves me anyway. And as I think about the psalmist, as I think about David, I think he's another one who really loved God. And God called him the apple of His eye. He called him a man after His own heart. And yet we consider David, I mean, we look at the exploits of David. Yeah, I love the story of David and Goliath. I love it. Absolutely. I love to preach it. I love to hear it preached. I get excited every time I read it, hear it, and preach it. I love it. But then there's the other side of David that's not so pretty. The conspirer, the adulterer, the murderer. That's not the pretty side. And yet God said, he's a man after my own heart. You want to know why? Because David was a great repenter. He was a great repenter because he loved God and because he knew that the things that he had done broke God's heart. It didn't make God love him any less, and repenting didn't make God love him any more, but it broke David's heart because it broke God's heart. And I know that I break God's heart. Doesn't make him love me any less. It doesn't make him love me any more, but I break his heart, and that breaks my heart. It really, truly does. And I thank God every day for the Holy Spirit to continue to touch me and to break me and to make me know when I've not done what's right and when I have done what's wrong. I thank God for the Holy Spirit in my life. I thank God that he still loves me despite myself. In Psalm 119, I believe David wanted to always do better. And that's why I said I'm not convinced of a performance-based salvation. There's nothing I can do more that will make God love me better or more. But I want to please him. I want to do more to try to prove my own love. And I know I don't have to, but it's in us to want to do that. I want to prove my love to my wife. I want to be able to prove myself to God. And I know he doesn't need that nor require it, but I want to do better. And I know that in fact, let me do this. Here's a little experiment. How many of us, by a raised hand, would say, without even going into any kind of explanation, no details needed, how many of us, by a raised up hand, would say, preacher, I've blown it this week? How many of us, by a raised up hand, would say, I've blown it this week? Okay, now I'll give y'all just a second to catch up. How many of us, by an upraised hand, would say, yeah, I've kind of let God down this week. Maybe I should rephrase it a little bit. I've kind of let God down this week. How many of us would do that by an upraised hand? Come on, yeah, thank you. If your hand's up, you're listening. If your hand's not up, you're not listening.
Amen.
Yeah. All right, now let's do this. Let's bring it a little closer to home. How many of us would say, yeah, I kind of blew it today? Already. I like to do this just because it's so true. The devil probably got in your vehicle this morning. In fact, he probably was at your house. And for some, he was, wasn't he? You know what I'm talking about. What are you doing? Where's your shoes? I told you to get your shoes on. We got 20 minutes. Honey, why are you making me wait? Honey, why am I always waiting on you? Will you just get this? What do you mean you're still eating? And you argue all the way to the car. Finally get in the car. You're making your way. Oh, I can't believe another train. A train again, another train. Why in the world do they do this on Sunday? And why has it got to be so long? Why does he stop right in the middle of the track? Why has he got to stop right in the intersection? And I mean, your religion just gone completely out the door. And then we pull up in the parking lot and we say, what special are you singing today, honey? Oh, I'm singing, I just love to tell you what I think of Jesus. And then you get out of the car and we say, all right, smile. Now, tell me we hadn't blown it today.
Come on.
It happens. And tomorrow I want to do better.
Good.
I want to do better tomorrow.
Good.
And I know that you do too. I know you do, because we all blow it. We all breathe this thing called air. We're all still living, and so I want to do better tomorrow. If I'm breathing, I'm going to mess up some point today.
Come on.
So I want to do better tomorrow, and that's what I want to talk about this morning, is a better tomorrow. I believe David wanted to always do better tomorrow. Why? Not because God's going to love him more, love him less, but because he loved God so much, and I love God so much, and I just want to please him. I just want to always do better. In Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Can you hear David's heart? Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And I'll tell you, that's a real good recipe. If you want to keep from sinning so much against God, take his word and hide it in your heart. The Bible often speaks to individuals and their responsibilities within their God-given roles: husband, wife, father, mother, child, employee, employer. And that being the case, if the Bible speaks to us within our roles in life, it obviously speaks to us at different ages in our life as well. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." There are principles that we can draw from biblical instruction from all the different stages of life, no matter what age we happen to be at the moment or what role we're presently fulfilling. And our text before us is no different. While the Scripture is speaking to the young man, the word man there is generic, the emphasis is not on the age of the individual, but the path that is set before him. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, the path that is set before him." And so, no matter your age this morning, the fact that you're alive and you're here, it means that you presumably have some future left. It may not be much, but the fact that you're here and alive means that you have some future left. And that's what this passage wants us to focus on. So let's make four observations this morning that I believe will be a help, that will help us live a life that is not only pleasing to God, but personally satisfying as well. And I believe if you love God, it'll help you do better tomorrow. Because if you're like me, I've already blown it today. I already have. Yeah. Not in a huge dynamic way, and there are greater sins. Jesus talked about he that hath the greater sin. So there are degrees of sin. So I didn't go out and kill somebody. I didn't do something like that. But boy, I had a lapse of faith this morning. What was that about? Well, my wife and I were talking about finances. That'll do it every time. But if I think about David and his love for God and how that he wanted to better himself each and every day, I believe that this particular psalm will give us some insight as to how he wanted to do that. So I want you to look, first of all, at the psalmist's desire. Look at verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" He wanted to live a clean life. He wanted to live a clean life. And I believe this is a great desire for the child of God. I believe every person in here, if you are truly saved, you really do want to live right. You want to live a life that's clean, a clean living. You want to be a clean living child of God. I was telling our Sunday school class this morning, we represent. Amen. We go out into the world and we represent. I hope that we know that this morning. I hope we understand that when we walk out of this door, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We represent God Almighty. We represent Heritage Baptist Church. And I want my life to reflect that. I want people to look at James Stone and see Jesus Christ. And I don't always get that right. Sometimes I mess that up. But it's my desire to do that. I want to live a clean life. And I believe that happens at any age. I especially think about the teenagers. It's commendable. He says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" If the teenagers do it, well, how commendable is that? I'm telling you, when you see teenagers who are trying to live right for God, is that not inspiring? Amen. Isn't that just make you really want to shake their hand? And you know, I thank God that when I was a youth pastor, I said this over and over, we had some really great teenagers. And it was so obvious that they just really wanted to do right. They weren't perfect by any means. And I commend Brother Ladd, and I commend Brother Moore for the groups that have come up behind me. I see, you know, I look at these guys right here, and I see just good kids right here. I see good teenagers, and I believe that they truly want to do right. Now, obviously, there's going to be, times of whatever, rebellion. But I believe for the most part, you got good teenagers. I see a good group coming in. That, to me, that's committed. You know what I enjoyed? I enjoyed people coming up to me when I was a youth pastor, and they would say, Tyler may remember this, Riley may remember this, some of you read. You remember, we would have you guys come down here with umbrellas, and you'd help the, and then we would help. I would say, go down there if you have any teens that are visiting, bring them up to the classroom. And I would have adults come up to me and say, man, those teenagers are awesome. They're downstairs, and they're helping those other teenagers, and they're helping in the parking lot. And I'm telling you, it just makes a huge difference when we got teenagers who want to live for God. But it's more commendable when we see young people doing it, but it's the great desire, I believe, for any child of God of any age, just to live right. I wish I had the testimony, and I've said this over and again. I wish I had the testimony, teenagers. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen, and I got to jump right back on the sermon here. I'll never get done. I wish that I had the testimony that God led me around the pit instead of pulled me out of it. You have an opportunity now to give God your whole life.
Amen.
Not the picked through leftovers. Give him all your life.
Good.
There's so many of us in here wish we could say, God led me around that pit of
Amen.
Alcohol. He led me around that pit of drugs. He led me around that pit of promiscuity. He led me around that. We wish we had that testimony.
Amen.
You don't have to have an ungodly, wicked lifestyle to have a great testimony. I would whole lot rather have that testimony, God led me around the pit than pulled me out of it. But I think about David here and think about us, and perhaps you're a little older, and perhaps you're tired of your sin, weary of broken resolutions, coming to the altar, your altar, wherever it is, whether it's here on a Sunday morning or whether it's your altar at home, and, well, here I am, Lord. You know why I'm here. Same old thing. Just can't seem to get victory over it. Man, doesn't that just discourage you sometimes? And you know, in your mind, in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm breaking God's heart by living like this, and I want God to get, he deserves better from me, so I want to do better tomorrow. And so, I desire and you desire, and I believe that in this passage, the psalmist desires to get back on the path of righteousness. No matter, it is a worthy desire to want to live the rest of your life on the path of righteousness, no matter how old or how young you are. No matter where you are. Listen, my pastor used to say this, and I'm a true believer, that I don't really believe that God is so as concerned as where you are right now as the direction you are headed. And I know some in here this morning are having a difficult time trying to get this thing right. Trying to get this Christianity thing down. Trying to get this living right down. I know you struggle with it. Listen, we're still human beings. Just because we got saved, just because we got salvation doesn't mean you all of a sudden got freed from every vice that had you in its clutches. I wish that were true. I can say I'm a miracle. God saved me and he turned me around, but good night, I still had vices that he had to work on. And I know some of you are like that as well. I want you to understand that it doesn't matter so much where you are right now as it does the direction you're headed. And the fact that you're in this room right now listening to the preaching of your own volition means you're headed in the right direction. You're headed in the right direction. Just don't quit. Don't give up.
Amen.
Just keep on doing the right thing. Can we identify with the desire of the psalmist? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And again, it doesn't matter your age. Wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? I want to cleanse my way. I want to live right. I want to do right. All because God loves me so much. Because he loves me and because I love him. Have you found yourself confessing the same old sin? Do you long for daily victory? So not only do we see the psalmist's desire, but I want you to notice we see the psalmist's direction. He said in verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Now that phrase, taking heed, it carries with it the idea of yielding the right of way. To what? The word of God. To the word of God. Yielding the right of way to the word of God. If we truly want to live a life from this day forward that pleases God, then we must yield to his word. Can I get an amen right there? We can read the word, but applying it is the key.
Amen.
I don't mean for it to sound like this, but I'm gonna go ahead and say it. I don't mean for that to happen, but it's just gonna look that way, so I'm gonna pat myself on the back. I don't mean for that to look like this, but I have finally in my life, and only by the grace of God, I mean that with everything that's within me, I have finally come to a place in my life where I feel like a complete fish out of water if I have not spent time in the Word of God every morning. And I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I'm really not. I'm just saying that I want the Word of God to be ingrained in my heart, to be ingrained in my life. And even though I read it every single day, and there may be one here and there that I miss, but almost every single day I read the Word of God. I can read it and read it and read it and still walk out there and Who do you think he is cutting me off like that? Why these idiot drivers? And I just read the word 20 minutes ago. I just engrossed myself with seven chapters of something. I read seven chapters of Ezra this morning and laughed at how God worked on their behalf. But anyway, I love that. But it doesn't matter. So what if you read the word? Applying it is what matters. Applying it. David said, I've hid your word in my heart so I won't sin against you. And the only way that happens is if we apply it. Do we give God's word veto power over our life? The blood of Christ cleanses us positionally. We read in 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the blood, with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And 1 John 1:7, the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So when we place our faith in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, that is the shedding of his own blood, by dying in our place, we're born again, we're saved, we're cleansed in the eyes of God, because God takes what Jesus did and he applies it to our account, and we are cleansed positionally or eternally. But that does not mean we'll never sin again. Because as long as we're on this side of eternity, we have not eradicated that sinful nature. We have not eradicated that old man. He's still there, still trying his best to raise his head up every opportunity he gets. And as long as we're stuck in this sin-cursed body on this sin-cursed earth, we will inevitably sin. However, the scope of our sin will have changed because of the presence of God's Spirit within us after salvation. So hopefully, we're not sinless, but we sin less.
That's good.
Right? I mean, the things I used to do, don't do them anymore to the same degree. Right? There are some things I've been able to just let go of completely, but there are other things that I just haven't quite let go of completely.
Yeah.
Like covetousness, like bitterness, like gossip, like gluttony. Like some of those things just keep hanging on. But just not quite as much. We're not sinless, but we hopefully sin less. So while the blood of Christ cleanses us positionally for all eternity, we need the Bible to help clean us practically. The Word of God. You see, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. John 15:3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Today we live in the day of powerful detergents. Amen. Powerful detergents. I mean, there's something to clean up everything. No stain too tough for modern cleansers. New and improved. Every year it's new and improved. Never perfect, but new and improved. But the Bible's perfect. There's no sin too stubborn for the Bible to eradicate. Daily Bible reading is essential to daily victory over sin. It is the divine OxyClean. So you can tell how old his sermon is. Amen. It's the divine OxyClean. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It gives us direction. It does give us direction by illuminating the paths before us. There's no doubt about that. Well, I mentioned this again just less than an hour ago. I said, listen, if we're trying to live a life that is godly, we're trying to do right by God, we're trying to follow the word of God, and if our friends know that we're trying to do that, and yet they keep pulling us back, it's time to get new friends. If they laugh at you and mock you for trying to do what's right, they're not your friends. And we need to find a new set of friends. Thy word, and God will direct that. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It'll give us direction by illuminating the path that is before us. When we judge what is before us by the word of God, we can rest assured that we will always have the right path as a choice. I want to throw something out there. And I don't want to split the church, but I'm going to throw it out there just because the Lord said, go ahead and throw it out there. I wonder if Christians, if they prayed and read the Bible and asked God's opinion before they went to see George Strait, before they went to see Taylor Swift, before they went to see any of these other godless entertainers, would they still go? I mean, using God's word as a guide, would they still go? Would you still go? If you prayed about it first, could you take Jesus to go see Taylor Swift? Would you invite Jesus to go see George Strait? Go, save. I told you. I hope. Crickets. I used to be able to do the cricket sound. Since I got plates, I can't do the cricket sound no more. Christian, you know what I'm saying is right. You know what I'm saying is right. Because every child of God knows what's right and what's wrong in their life. They know it. Why do you think you are a judge of me? That's where Christianity has come. But if you'd pray and let God's word judge it, would you still go? Amen. Thank you. I'm glad we got some few ameners out there. Preacher, I'll keep going. The problem is not always that we don't have the right choice in front of us, but sometimes we just choose not to take it, even with eyes wide open. Even with eyes wide open. So this brings us to not only the psalmist's desire and the psalmist's direction, but I want you to notice in verse 10, we see the psalmist's determination. He said, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." With my whole heart. I made this observation the other day when I mentioned that C.S. Lewis had made this quote, and I love it, and it's very convicting to me. He said, if Christianity is true, then it ought to be of the utmost importance in your life. If Christianity is not true, it ought not hold any importance. But one thing Christianity can never do or be is moderately important. Do we seek God with our whole heart? Do we seek God with our whole heart? Look what he said, "Let me not wander from thy commandments." He responds with his whole heart. No hypocrisy, no holding back. Why such determination in the psalmist? Why? What makes him so committed to doing right? Why does he have such a desire to live before God? Because we see in verse 11, the psalmist's devotion. Because of his devotion. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Because he understands that all sin, is ultimately sin against God. He's our maker. He is our creator. He is our recreator. And while salvation is free to all who come in repentance and faith, there is a moral expectation that we will live for him who rescued us from an eternal damnation. And I've often said this to teenagers who are second or third or fourth generation Christians, and while there is some truth that Jesus said, he who is forgiven of much, loveth much. And so sometimes second, third, fourth generation Christians don't quite have the zeal for God in their early years that some who get saved out of that pit have. Because we see where God saved us from. We see the path of destruction where we were headed. And they don't have that, and so that zeal's not quite there. But if I can just get you to understand, you are destined for the same hell that I was destined for. I am so glad that God rescued me from hell a whole lot more than I'm glad he rescued me from alcohol. I'm so glad that he rescued me from an eternity of damnation than rescuing me from drugs. And if you could just get your head around the fact that even though you took no drugs, even though you've never had a drop of alcohol, you've never smoked anything, you've never lived an ungodly life, you are still bound for an eternity in hell, a lake of fire, if you don't get saved. And if you could just constantly go back to the cross and realize what Jesus did and why he did it, I believe your zeal would be what maybe some of us seem to have. 1 Corinthians 10:21, Christian, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. I'm telling you, the Lord says it pretty straight. How many people get on to Brother Stone because he said, talked about George Strait, he talked about Taylor Swift, he talked about, I don't even know the names, those are the only ones I know. Because he talked, but Jesus said, they're devils. He said, you can't partake of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Jesus said that. So get mad at him. I mean, if you're going to get mad at somebody, get mad at the Lord. He's the one who said, what? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's, which are God's. He said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? That's straight from the Word of God. That's Jesus talking. That's the Word of God talking. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. It's all right if they call you weird. It's all right if they talk about you. It's okay. Eternity is a whole lot longer than these 70, 80 years on this earth. 1 Peter 1:15 says, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now, I'm going to end this, but I want to say this. Why am I even bringing all that up? I just think that sometimes we just need to be reminded how much God loves us. And the only reason you can love him is because he first loved you. And when our love grows, it's because we stop to consider how much he loves us. And when we stop considering how much he loves us, our love wanes. I love God. I'm not perfect. I got my truth detector sitting right down there. I mess up. I don't treat her right sometimes. I don't treat God right sometimes.
Amen.
He keeps on loving me, though. And because he keeps on loving me when I mess up, I don't want to mess up again. I want to do better tomorrow. I want to do better tomorrow. It is the end. When we are saved, God calls for surrender in the deepest part of our being. When God saves us, he doesn't want to just manage our lives. He wants ownership of our lives. And that's not too great a price to pay when one considers just how much God gave so that we might have an opportunity to miss hell. If love is measured in terms of sacrifice made, then how much must God love us? For God so loved the world. That group out there that we're trying to keep our kids away from. The world. God loved them. He loved them so much that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have. This is why the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. The psalmist's desire. The psalmist's direction. The psalmist's determination. We see the psalmist's devotion. Our question this morning is not, what does your past look like? It's not even, what does your present look like? But what do you want tomorrow to look like? I want it to look better than today. I've already messed up. I had a lapse of faith, as I said. And I'm not going to give you the gory details, but, you know, I don't have thousands and thousands of dollars in my bank account. In fact, we're going, squeaking by sometimes. And while I know God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, sometimes I think he can't even put bologna on my table.
Yeah.
That's my lapse of faith.
Yeah.
And I just have to repent of that. And I say,
Amen.
Lord, help me do better tomorrow.
Amen.
Help me do better tomorrow. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Let's stand together as we prepare for an invitation. Our Father, this morning, I just pray that you would take this passage, this scripture, this simple sermon, which you know was tucked away in the archives, and I just ask you for something that would help and to be a blessing this morning, and I hope it was. Lord, I hope you'll use it to your honor and glory, for our good and for your glory. I pray if there's anybody here who's not saved, that today will be the day of salvation for them. And for those of us who know our track record is kind of sketchy, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to have enough conviction, enough concern about it to come to the altar and make an altar out of our chair and just ask you to help us do better tomorrow. We pray it in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed just for a few minutes as the invitation begins, this is for you. You come this morning. If the Holy Spirit of God spoke to you, then you come. If you're like me, I blew it already this morning. If you're like me, I've blown it this week. Why don't you come on down? Maybe you're here and you need to be saved. Maybe this morning you say, boy, that really has nothing to do with me except that I need to get saved. I need that first step, preacher. If I died tonight, I'm not even sure I'd go to heaven. If that's you, would you come this morning? One of our men would be glad to, or ladies would be glad to open her Bible and show you exactly how you can know for sure heaven will be your home. But if you're like me, you're saved, but man, just constantly blow it. Would you be willing to make an altar right there out of your pew? Or come on down here to this old-fashioned altar and just God already knows. You're not telling him it's something he doesn't already know, but there's just something that solidifies your commitment to doing right tomorrow when you just make an altar out of some place. You come.
Thank you so much. You may be seated. That's what you call boots on the ground help. And the Lord has used his word and used Brother Stone to help us this morning. And thank the Lord for that. Thanks for stepping on my toes all over. I don't feel like my toes are left now. I think they're just bruised up. God knows what we need. Just a few announcements. If you have your bulletin, and go through your bulletin and help it organize your personal and family calendar if you're able to, if you have that liberty. But pray for the Richard Croats family to Papua New Guinea, as well as the Colin Hendricks family to England, our missionaries of the week that we'll be highlighting and talking about tonight. Keep them in your prayers. Also, I want to make one announcement very clear today. We really could use more help with our Operation Christmas Child event. What we're trying to do is we're trying to raise money. It's kind of twofold. We're trying to raise money on one end, but we're also trying to fill boxes on the other end. And you might be one that's able to get one of the boxes that are in the back table and fill that up with toys or things that might bless a young child during Christmas time that's needy and doesn't have anything. But you may not be that person. You may say, well, I'd rather just give and let somebody else do it because I'd pick the worst gifts ever, right? And you might be that person. So in either case, I'd ask you to please help. We're not as far ahead as we were last year at this point. And so by next Sunday, we'd love to see more given towards that, and also as well, more boxes filled. It costs $10 a box to fill, and we want to bless as many as we can. I know that some families have things that they do as family units or personally to try to help and encourage people during Christmas time and do those things. But if the Lord would lead you to do something extra and beyond, or something, maybe you're not doing anything, We're trying to provide an opportunity for you to do something. And so we want to help young people and encourage young people. They'll get the gospel as well. What a great opportunity, and it's money well spent. And so please give, even in this upcoming offering, if you would. Just you can even right now, you can get your purse out and get your wallet out, and you can kind of make sure you mark the envelope with Operation Christmas Child. We want to help. So by next Sunday, it'd be great if we could just give towards that. Also, we have our Reconnect Couples Retreat that is this Friday and Saturday. We actually have one opening that is available. So, if your marriage is on the fritz, if... I'm joking. But if you would be blessed by being able to attend that and you weren't able to sign up before, but you're thinking, wow, well, there's one spot open, I'd be interested in that. Would you please talk to myself, Pastor Wiggins, talk to Pastor Crawford. We'd love to sign you up for that and get you there on this coming Friday. Also, we have Armed Forces Appreciation Sunday coming up on November the 5th. Men and Ladies of Heritage, our next meeting for that is on Saturday, November the 11th at 8:30. We'll meet together, men and ladies, in the Activity Center. And then also, right after we eat, we'll break up like we did last time, men and women, and hear from the Lord, hear from the Word of God, and pray together. As our ushers are coming forward, I'm going to give you just a couple more announcements here. Heritage Day is November the 12th, and as far as choir goes, I think practice at 4:30 today. Does that sound right? Choir practice at 4:30, and then also we have organized soul winning Tuesday and Saturday this week. I hope you can be part of all these things that you're able to. Let's go ahead now, and let's pray that the Lord would bless the offering as we give. Dear Lord, we